Well, good morning, Living Water. You glad to be in God's house? Well, everybody's got a chance except me, so happy Father's Day. To all the single dads out there, happy Father's Day. To all the single moms out there, happy Father's Day. Because you fill roles that somebody chose not to fill. Are you with me today so far?
Yes.
Good morning, one more time.
Morning.
I'm so glad you're here. For all of you who... Dads who have now a blended family. Happy Father's Day. So many people get unrecognized on these days. I don't think it's right. So I'm going to make it right. For all of you who have been a dad to someone because you were wise enough to see they didn't have an influence in their life, happy Father's Day. For those of you that have the kid that lives next door to you that honestly you want to stick your thumb in their eye, but instead you love them, happy Father's Day. You don't realize the grace you're showing. I'm so glad you're here today. Take your Bibles, find the book of Genesis. If you can't find the book of Genesis, just come to the altar. Just kidding. First book of the Bible, I'm only kidding. Find a table of contents, go right just a little bit, you'll find Genesis. I really don't know that I'm even qualified to speak today. Clearly, Miss Heather has cast doubt in your mind because she saw the real me and still chooses to come. I quote her verbatim. So, yeah, there's that. I'll tell you something, man. I'm so blessed. I being a dad, I consider it to be, man, such an honor, such a privilege. Of course, I've been blessed with amazing children. And then you know, last night we had five of our grandchildren spend the night. And I don't know what we were thinking, honestly, but, I mean, they're awesome during the day. And then you get them all together and a giggle fest takes place, I mean, for the girls. And it's amazing to me. If that would have been my kids, I would have, like, lost my mind. But when it's your grandkids, you're like, isn't that cute? Just listen to them giggle. Just listen to them giggle. Man, I'm so glad they were able to spend the night. That was a great Father's Day present for me. And I'm sure they didn't mind. Trey and Heather and Candace and Ryan probably didn't mind too much either. But I'm glad to be here, and I stand here obviously representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I'm no fool, and Daddy taught me to never forget where you came from. So I also stand up here continuing the legacy of my father who stood before people all over the country telling them about Jesus Christ. So I do this obviously to please my heavenly Father, but I also do it so that my daddy's proud. In the book of Genesis, we're going to talk about a dad. But I want to make something very clear that the Bible is a book of principles, and normally at Living Water, you special days, quote unquote. Sometimes we do, but I don't like try to rifle through and find a like Mother's Day message or a Father's Day message or whatever because it might not apply. Amen. You follow me? So today we are going to talk about a dad. But if you have anyone in your life that you influence, and if you're here and you got breath in your lungs, you influence someone. Probably many. So this applies to you. And where I may in this message, because of the day, I may use the word dad. I want you to insert your name. Male, female, don't care. Because this is a message of principle. And I'll tell you where it was birthed from. Years ago, honestly, over 20 years ago now, Tom, who was the gentleman up here playing acoustic guitar. Didn't the band do great today? And we're so blessed. Don't applaud them, because you don't applaud me. But Tom one day, and he may have been stewing on this for like, I don't know, years. And we worked together, for those of you that didn't know. And we were beside each other. And he just like walked over and dropped this bomb and then walked away. And it is what created in me this message. God used him to just use a sentence or two, and I have thought about it ever since that happened, and I have just meditated upon it because I want it to be said of me as a dad. We're going to introduce ourselves to this gentleman, but before then, before we dive deep into this message, I want you to understand that dads are not perfect. Dads make mistake after mistake. We make wrong calls. We do. There's not a kid in this room or an adult in this room that didn't get punished for something that honestly you didn't do. But since he amen that, I'll say, but you probably deserve more that you got away with, right? And what I want you to understand today is that we are going to read some heavy verses today. I mean, literally, they will weigh heavy on you. But I want you to hear just before we start that God's not looking for perfection. You need to understand. So, Dad, Mom, couples, influencer, stop shooting for perfection and just step by step live out this word. Because you're going to stumble, you're going to make mistakes. And I don't want anyone to ever leave this building and feel the weight of guilt. You might leave feeling convicted because God is like stirring something up inside of you that you probably or maybe should have responded to. That's different. Guilt is not a motivator. So there is nothing that is guilt related in this message whatsoever, because we're none perfect. Successful dad doesn't necessarily have to always be right or perfect. Find Genesis. We're going to really take the bulk of our message out of chapter 6. When I said that every daddy doesn't have to be perfect or good, so it was for an individual that you probably wouldn't think of if I were to ask you who is one of the greatest dads in the scriptures. Honestly, this guy would not have popped up into your head more than likely. This is whom Tom came to my desk and said, "Man, have you thought about what kind of dad Noah must have been?" And I'm like, "No." Because when we think Noah, we think of what? Yeah, man, flood, ark, water, doom, awesome story, animals. Makes for a cool VBS, though. We did that. But you really don't think of him as a great dad. But here's what I want to unpack, and it's kind of our key thought. And I just want you to feel it. We're going to learn that God only spoke to Noah. And God had, through his grace and mercy, and we'll talk more about that, we've sung about that. But God spoke to Noah, and he told his boys, "Hey, God said we got to build an ark because it's going to rain like it's never rained before." Well, actually, it has never rained before. So we're going to build an ark. What's this thing? What is this rain you speak of, Dad? I don't know, but God said it, so I'm just repeating him. So he tells his sons, we have nowhere in Scripture where they bucked him on this. Rather, they got to work. So there had to be something about this man that influenced those around him, that his word alone was enough. His word was enough. When he said, God said, clearly it carried some weight because they all responded. Now, you Bible scholars are already pushing back because of the one that got away. But that doesn't change the fact that they all listened to Dad and put into motion what God said. And when he came around that corner, Tom, that is, and said, man, Noah's one of the greatest dads in all the Bible. I didn't have a comeback, and I usually have a comeback for about anything. All I could say was, that's pretty heavy. But he wasn't perfect. And I know you're in Genesis 6, but I'd ask you to pull your worship guide out. Let's take some notes. Let's get into this, please, because I could have easily talked to you today about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Man, I could include Solomon. I Joseph, the earthly father of our Savior Jesus. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But I want to talk about Noah. Fast forward, when Noah and the ark and those inside rested upon dry land, your Bible says that Noah went and planted some vineyards. And when those vineyards matured, Noah celebrated a little too much. And your Bible says this. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and for whatever reason, he took off all his clothes. Now, when I was growing up, that was always what they focused on in every sermon about Noah. Not the incredible grace and mercy of God, not the thing, the many, many things that the ark represents in terms of salvation. That's another message for another time. But it was always that, some reason, kids these days, they just want to take their clothes off. It's awesome. There's got to be more to that story than this. But we can't deny the fact that Noah did, in fact, become uncovered in his tent. And Ham was one of his sons. He was the father of Canaan. Saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brothers outside. So I'll tell you what happened. So the two brothers, when they heard, Ham, Shem, and Japheth were the names of his sons. Ham saw his daddy drunk and uncovered, and he went and told the sons, his brothers, everything, the Bible says. Told him everything, like was just trash-talking daddy. And so the other two sons came, and this is a great, great model for any Christ follower. Our job is not necessarily to make everyone else look bad and to share everyone else's bad story, but we are to offer them Jesus, who is the covering for the things that they lack in their life. So what the other brothers did were they took a blanket of sorts, and they one grabbed one end and one grabbed the other. And your Bible says something interesting, that they backed into the tent because they honored their father. They honored their father, but they didn't want their father to be dishonored by anyone else like he was his own son. So they backed in and they covered him. And they walked out of the tent. And then this happened, continuing on in verse 24 of chapter 9. So Noah woke from his wine. I'm going to say it again. So Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. Is everybody paying attention this morning? Look at this next line. Then he said, cursed be whom? Canaan. Canaan. Canaan didn't do nothing. Now, maybe because you've read Scripture, and I'm so glad you have, you might be thinking he means, geographically speaking, speaking forward into the land of Canaan. No, no. Because what we breezed through very quickly was that Ham had a son, and his son's name was Canaan. So I'm here to tell every influencer today, and to every dad, that what you do, you may think you're getting away with, but it will be carried on generation to generation. So I encourage you, I beg of you, break the chain of the generational things in your life that you struggle with and deal with. I'm going to preach whether you respond or not. The things you struggle with, that you deal with, that you fought with, and you don't understand why, but yet you stop and think about it, and it's just like Daddy did it, it's just like Grandpa did it. It's time that we break some curses and some things in our life so that we don't repeat the bad things that happened before us. Amen, amen and amen. So Noah said, cursed is Canaan. He skipped the generation. I'm telling you, when you study this out, influencer in this room, dad in this room, mom in this room, when you study this out, you will feel the weight of your decision-making and your behavior and your commitment to Jesus, your walk with God. You will reconsider it, because especially when you have grandkids enter into the picture, as me and Miss Kim are so, so blessed to have 7 beautiful grandkids, we need to understand, and we understood early on, that we have to change the way we process data, because we are not just hurting ourselves. We are not just hurting our children. We are affecting our children's children. And you will affect your children's 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 children, good or bad, depending on how you decide to live by this book. I don't know if you feel the weight of that. I do. With 3 grown children, with families of their own. Noah wasn't perfect. But I could not continue to talk about all of the things that Noah did that caused his family to respond to him just on his word. I couldn't go on and not paint the picture that he was not perfect. So I'm here to tell you, lighten up on yourself. Dad, okay, you got it wrong. Today's a new day and a brand new beginning. Don't carry into tomorrow the mistakes that you've made today as a dad or an influencer. Don't do it, because you don't have to. God's mercies are new every day. I won't say it again. God's mercies are new every single day. As sure as the sun comes up, you get another chance. We sung a song that says, thank you for the second chance. We get a second chance. If you're anything like me, you've had 100, 200 chances. And I'm so thankful. He's still the God of the second chance. Amen. And thank you, Jesus. Even with his mistakes, Noah's greatest success was not the ark. Even with his mistakes, his greatest success was not saving the animals, although I'm so glad he did. His greatest accomplishment was being a dad whose word was enough. And here's the problem. I'm always struggling when I talk about dads, when I do maybe a series on the home, and the dad happens to be the subject. Unfortunately, we have not all been blessed to have the best of dads. So it's hard for us to filter our Heavenly Father for who He really is, because we're filtering it through who our earthly dad really was. But you got to understand that you won't pay for your daddy's mistakes or sins. You'll pay for yours. And you'll be rewarded for the things with the right motivations that you do. Again, another series at another time. Being a dad was his greatest accomplishment. Now we look at men like Noah and say, well, of course he was a success. He was Noah. God put him in the Bible. God put a whole lot of people in the Bible. And they wasn't all on the up and up. Amen. But did you ever stop and think about, and if you haven't, I'm certainly not speaking down to you because I didn't either until Tom dropped that in me and God made that seed begin to take root. But you ever stop and consider? He had to get across some hurdles that fathers even face today. If you're taking notes, write them down. He raised his family during a time of extreme wickedness. We find that in chapter 6 and verse number 5. He raised his family during a time of extreme violence. We find that in chapter 6, verse 11. He raised his family in a time where God was ultimately being ignored. We find that in Genesis 6, 12. He raised his family, listen to me, knowing that one day the judgment of God was going to fall. And that superseded everything else because he knew he had to save his family. If any of this sounds familiar, then you do pay attention to your culture around you. We can paint the rosiest picture. Well, I could stand up here and say, all you got to do is smile and be nice to your neighbor and God lets you into heaven. But we need to open our eyes. We will never change culture if we don't have our pulse on culture. If we don't understand the culture, then we will not recognize the change that needs to be made. I love my life and I'm blessed, but I'm not an idiot. We live in a time of extreme wickedness. We live in a time of violence. I'm blown away and heartbroken and left literally speechless at the senseless violence that takes place in our country. Yes, the number is very high, but not just in our country, across the globe. And it comes in many ways, shapes, and forms. Violence takes place in the home. Hello, are you still here? Violence takes place in the home. You can be violent and never raise a fist. I deal with people every day that have been literally beaten down by someone's words. Use your words to lift others up higher than yourself. That's why we're here. So everything that Noah had to struggle with and everything that was real in his day, we face today. Perhaps that is why Jesus said, as it was in the day of Noah, so it'll be when the Son of Man comes. So you want to look for signs? Open your eyes. We're living right in the middle of it. But in spite of all that Noah had to go through and struggle with, he made certain achievements that identify him as a successful dad. So that is why I have entitled this message, A Successful Daddy. I'm sure that every dad in this place wants to be a better dad or a better grandfather. I'm sure that every mom wants to be a better mom. Every influencer wants to be a better influencer. So let's find out how. Because listen, in reality, when the smoke clears, the achievements that marked Noah as a successful dad could be true of all of us. I'll ask the question, what's your word worth? It's rhetorical because I want you to dwell on it for 10 seconds. What's your word worth, mom? What's your word worth, dad? What's your word worth, son? What's your word worth, influencer? I ain't talking about an occasional, oh man, I forgot, my bad. I'm talking about you opening your mouth and saying that this is what we need to do, so says the Lord, and people will follow. What's your word worth? If you got your notes ready, Noah was a successful dad because, number one, he walked with God. He walked with God. Genesis chapter 6, if you're there, go to verse 8. We're going to read 8 and 9, and I'm going to ask you to underline a couple of words. But Noah found, I'm going to ask you to say it aloud with me, Noah found in the eyes of the Lord. Underline that in your notes if it isn't already, or write it in. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't raise your hand because it's obvious. We need grace. Do you need grace today? Yes. The principle of sowing and reaping applies here. If you need grace, if you need a harvest of grace in your life because you're learning to get your footing as a Christ follower, you need to show a little grace. For so long, Christians did not know how to show grace. You were held to the one strike rule. Aren't you glad that our daddy doesn't hold us to the one strike rule? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. Aren't you glad? Continue. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was, say it with me, just man. He was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That word perfect there may be a little misleading to you. It literally translated in the Hebrew means with great integrity. With great integrity. He walked with God. He was a man of integrity. He said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You say, Jeff, how did it play out? Well, first of all, Noah's life was changed. You say, how do you know his life was changed? All of a sudden, this man named Noah just kind of, bam, he just appears in Scripture. I mean, you're reading along, man. You just got through the Garden of Eden, and you're like, wow. And then all of a sudden, this Noah guy pops up. You say, how do you know that his life was changed? Two words, grace and just. And I want you to notice, first of all, that he found grace. No. We're not going to breeze by this. He found grace. He didn't earn grace. He didn't deserve grace. You find grace in the heart of Jesus Christ. I love that. He found grace. He didn't work hard to get the grace of God. He didn't do more. Man, if I can just do more. Okay, I gotta quit doing this, and this, and then I'll have the grace of God. No. God wants you and meets you right where you're at, right at this moment, Dad. Mom, influencer, God meets you right where you're at, right at this moment. And he says, just come. Just come. We'll work on you as we walk together. Aren't you glad? He's still working on me. He found grace. He didn't fight for it. He didn't earn it. He found it. Grace is that just unearned and unmerited, undeserved love and favor of God for those of us who would be honest enough to say we are sinners. And just means that you are in a right standing with God. You are justified. There's nothing that has caused your relationship with your Creator to be fractured. There's no distance between you and God. You walk with God. You hide the Word in your heart. You put on the armor of God. If you're here and man, you're new to church or new to the Bible. I'm not saying these things like literally. You don't put on an armor. But what you do is you clothe yourself with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it will cause you to live, act, talk, walk differently. You say, man, I'm not going to be one of them freaky church people. Too late. I mean, the heart of living water, and man, I've said it for 18 years, you be you, I'll be me. Let's just all run after Jesus as hard as we can. Because God created us. He created your personality for a reason. He didn't create your anger management issues. But He created your personality for a reason. He created your creativity for a reason. He created your influence for a reason. He created your giftings and your talents for a reason. Jeff, what's that reason? To worship and glorify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. He walked with God. He walked with God because of grace, mercy, and His justification. Now, how did He get right standing with God? We know that being just is the result of God's grace, but you get justified in the grace by exercising your faith. See, because there's sometimes you won't feel God next to you. Come on, somebody. There's times you, listen, if you have been walking with God more than 5 years, and there has not been a time where you woke up wondering if you were saved. Amen. Come on, and I'm not taking nothing away from the power of God's ability to rescue us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. No, no, that's not the weakness. I'm the weakness. And there's been days I didn't want to be saved. And you're like, how do we get out of this church? Because this guy's... Hey, I'm being honest with you, man. There are times where you... Listen, especially early on, and it was because I never felt good enough. Is anybody in this room hearing what I'm saying? I never felt good enough. I could never reach the bar that they had for me. It was impossible. Either my hair was too long or I didn't wear the right clothes. I literally got kicked out of serving, volunteering, because I owned a leather jacket that I saved up and it had fringes on it. And I was a bad influence. No, it's comedy. Laugh. Because I've cried enough tears over it. Walked with God. How's your walk with God today? You're like, you know, as I brought up a while back, me and Daddy sing that song, Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going, with some hippie song. I get that. And people's walk looks different, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not asking how you do it. Your method, I don't care. What I'm asking about is your relationship with Jesus. Are those your influencing dad, mom, influencer? Are those your influencing? Can they look at you and say, he, she walks with God? They're in this book. They apply the principles of this book to their life. And whoever don't like it, we'll just pray for them. I mean, after you get mad and say something. Faith in God was Noah's provision for sin. But I want you to just kind of let this sink in for just a second. Do you understand that your Bible said that he was a just man and he was full of integrity and God was speaking to him? The faith that he had in God, now, just this is long before Jesus and the cross. So he had faith that had to go so far forward. Because, yes, there was some prophecy, and yes, there was a ton of symbolism in the Garden of Eden, but do you understand that Noah had to look so far down the line and believe that God was going to send his son to save his life? You and I, our faith is backwards. We put our faith in the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb. Amen. FYI, if you didn't know it, he's alive today. Yes. But Noah had to look so... What kind of faith does it take to have to look so far in it? No wonder no one took him serious. But thank God he had enough God in him and enough faith that when he spoke it, the family was on board because they believed Dad because he walked with God. Amen and amen. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God." Grace shows us our condition before God as sinners. Romans chapter 3. Grace points us to a remedy for our sins. His name is Jesus. The book of Acts chapter 16. Grace provides us with faith. And when that faith is placed in Christ, we are saved and just or justified before God. And I know if you're a church kid, you've heard somebody say being justified is just as if I'd never sinned. If you heard that, raise your hand. Oh man, they only told you half the story about justification. Yes, it's that, but that's only part of it. Literally translated, and the full effect of that word means not just as if I had never sinned, it's just as if I didn't have the capability to sin. That's the work that God does in you. We do not have to be slaves to sin. Our walk with God can be pure, it can be strong. Dad! How's your walk? How's your walk? And maybe the pushback is, dude, I'm here. Move on. But here's the problem. See, God don't take attendance. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And I know I fail so many times. But when you're walking with God, as soon as you begin to go off the road, you'll pump a guardrail. And that guardrail is the Spirit of the living God that says, whoa, 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 oh, might want to stop here. Now, Jeff Burke has blown through the guardrail a time or two. Maybe you have. We're back to God being the God of second chance. And he will reach down in that miry clay and he will pick you up. He don't send somebody. He don't lower a rope. He himself comes and gets you, and he picks you up from where you were, and he places you on solid foundation, and he puts a new song in your mouth. Why does he put a new song in your mouth? Because everything about you should be different. Noah walked with God. Secondly, I would draw your attention to the fact that Noah's life was consistent. That word walked proves that. It literally speaks to a consistent ongoing walk with the Lord. What am I saying? He wasn't hot or cold. My daddy used to say, I'm going to talk about daddy. It's Father's Day. Dad used to say, I don't understand. And my father-in-law is here. Happy Father's Day. Cease, I love you. But dad was saying, I brought him up because Pop shared a stage with me and daddy. And dad would always say, I don't understand. Dad could not wrap his mind around people that were in one day and out the next. Dad always said, if you've been delivered, once you've been to the other side, what is it that is so inviting and so strong that you want to go back? I'm here to tell you, I was raised in church, but I was as lost as the biggest murderer on the planet. And I needed Jesus, and I have nothing to go back to because he is everything I need. His walk was consistent. Dad, are you in and out? Are you up and down? Listen, you didn't hear me say that about a bad day. We're talking about your walk with God. It's consistent. Are you so hungry to fulfill your own lust and passion that you will create confusion in the life of your family? Because you chase after something that God doesn't have for you yet. Walk consistently, step after step after step. Noah was a successful dad because he walked with God and he did it consistently. You say, whoa, dude, back it up. You just told me that you opened with the fact that he got drunk and took all his clothes off. As I said, none of us are perfect. Because you might be the Noah in that section of the story. Here's what's going to happen. True Christ followers, I expect everyone at Living Water to grab something and cover you to protect you from your reputation and your word and your trust being ruined. And then we'll work on the restoration. It's not a matter of exposing. It's not, no. It's about covering. Hey, Dad, how's your walk? How's your walk with God? We talked last week about sharing your testimony. I love, man, I just, thank you. For those of you that testified and throughout the week that have just encouraged me, what that message did for you, thank you. But there's no greater testimony, Dad, that you can give than a patient, consistent walk with Jesus. Now, honestly. See, some would say I'm stubborn. I am. Because there are just some things, man, I'm not budging on. I'm just not. Now, there's a whole bunch of things I will because they don't matter. Did you hear me? And my foundation are not on the things that don't matter. My foundation is on the truth of the Word of the living God. You can't take the virgin birth of Jesus out of the equation, but we have an issue. I didn't say I wouldn't talk to you, but I ain't compromising that. Much of it I will lean into you. How consistently stubborn on the things of God are you? Or Dad, do you make mountains out of molehills? Hey, Dad, Mom, influencer, let me ask you just a quick question. We'll move on to number two because Noah walked with God. We get it. But can those you influence come to you and say anything? Anything. Can they come to you and say anything? Well, absolutely they can. Rethink that. Can they come to you and say anything without a dad lecture? If you know what a dad lecture is, every dad should have raised your hand seriously. I've given a few dad lectures in my day. Look it up in the dictionary, Jeff. Number two, Noah was a successful dad because he walked with God, but he also testified to others. It's in your notes, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Your Bible says this: God did not spare the ancient world. Pause. That's when the flood came. God did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, one of eight. He was a preacher of righteousness. It's so misquoted. We are told over and over again that while the ark was getting built, and you've heard it too, don't pretend like you haven't, that Noah stood out front with the scrolls, and he's like, you guys, you're all going to go to hell if you don't get on this ark. There is nothing at all in the story of Noah that said that. Nothing. What was his testimony? His walk with God. I've heard sermons where it's like, man, people would come by him and they would mock him and they would throw stones at him. Wait, that's not what? Was he going counterculture? Absolutely. But he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, we do know that he had to say some things, or it would have said liver. Survivor, obedient in righteousness. But we have no evidence, and I'm not going to add to the Bible to make a preacher point. His walk was his testimony. He testified to others, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. I love that phrase, preacher of righteousness. That means that while he was building the ark, he still didn't compromise. Listen, that was not an easy task. Come on now. You say, Jeff, how did he witness? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's use the Bible as its own commentary. If you're taking notes, he witnessed through his conduct. I want you to look at what the Bible says about the people around Noah during that day in that society. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, so that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yowza. Feel the weight of that verse. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the man's heart was only evil continually. Verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their own way on the earth. Verse 13. And God said to Noah, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. But behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But remember what God said about Noah. God said about Noah, this is the genealogy of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in generations, and he walked with God. He was so different from the people around him. Listen, he didn't look different. I guarantee you he dressed like everybody else in the society. We're not reading right now. Look at me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You, there's a difference in being a Jesus freak and just being flat weird. That'll preach. God didn't call you to be weird. He called you to be sold out and be you the way he designed you. But now the you full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God goes before you and makes a way. Dad, how's your conduct? Secondly, think of the fact that he witnessed through his conversation. It said he was a preacher of righteousness, and Noah lived right. He worked for the Lord right. And he also looked at the time when he would get an opportunity through his walk or through his words. He would not bring any attention to himself. Rather, he would speak on, act on, live out righteousness. Righteousness is not a word you hear much anymore. Righteousness. Your Bible says that when you and Jesus had the encounter and Jesus changed your life forever as you accepted him as the payment of the sin that you should have paid the price for and I should have paid the price for. At that moment, Jesus takes off the robe that was dirty off of you and he places on you his very own righteousness. You're cleansed. You're cleansed. His conversation was through his walk and through his words, and it was all about righteousness. Hey, dad, mom, influencer, when your children and others look at you and they're going to look up to you, listen, they're going to see your care for people. They're going to see your love for Jesus. They're going to what do they see? Y'all know, also witnessed through his commitment. I love that folks say it took 120 years to build the ark. The Bible doesn't say that. I know you're like, dude, you're messing up everything I thought I knew. No, Bible doesn't say how long it took Noah to build the ark. Most say 120, but if you read the text carefully, that's not what it says. When Noah is first mentioned in Genesis 5, verse 22, he is 500 years old. When he enters the ark, he's 600 years old. I'm no genius, but well. The time it took to build the ark would depend on how much time passed between 6:14 and 7:1 when God told him to get on the ark. Regardless, Him sticking with it is a testimony. Dad, you sticking with it is a testimony. You sticking with it when no one else does. You sticking with it when it's easier to quit. You sticking with it when no one else agrees. You sticking with it when you don't understand so many things. You sticking with Jesus is the greatest testimony you could give. And it's called commitment, and we need to get some. Amen. 1 Peter 2:15, this is the will of God. Jeff, what's the will of God in my life? I'm so glad you asked. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You don't got to be all slick. You don't. You just love. You love the unlovable. You love those that do good to you and those that do not. Through sharing and showing and walking in the love of Jesus Christ, you will leave your mark. And you'll put to silence the foolishness. Noah was a successful dad because he walked with God and he testified to others. Let me close. He was also a successful dad because he won his family. Did you hear me? I did not say he saved his family. His kids had a choice. Amen? Yes. Noah couldn't live the life for his kids. Hey, Dad, take some pressure off. You can't live the life for your kids. I know you want to. I feel you. I really, really do. But you can't. That's why you let God drive. That's why you turn the wayward, the prodigal, over to Jesus. And you stay consistent and committed. And you preach righteousness through word and deed. Amen? He won his family. Look at Genesis 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. Now, pause. I don't know how you read the Bible, but man, it's a little bitty words that just drive me banana cakes. Then the Lord said to Noah, what's the next word? Come, come. He didn't say go. If I say go out the hall, that means you're going out the hall and I'm going to be right here. If I say come into the hall, that means I'm already in. Oh, God. And you're coming in to join me where I'm at. Noah heard the voice of God say, come into the ark. I'm in here. God said, just come on in. You and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. He won his family. Jeff, how did he win his family? With respect. Chapter 6, verse 18. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And there's other verses for the sake of time. But did you notice that when God spoke, he only spoke to Noah? He only spoke to Noah. So there had to be a level of respect there that, hey, guys, hey, listen, brothers, we need to have a conversation. Dad said, God said, it's going to rain. I know. Wait, let's hold your questions. I get it. But Dad said it. And Dad walks with God. Dad is righteous. Dad is just. God's grace is on Dad. So he said it. And we got to be all in out of respect for the man that never compromised. Are you with me? And they didn't do that. I did that part. Respect. Respect. He won their respect. God said to Noah, not God said to Noah and everybody else. But when it was time to go into the ark, his sons and their wives followed him. Why? Because he believed. All of the brothers' wives, Noah's wife, they believed Noah because he had won their respect through consistency. He not only won their respect, as we close, he witnessed their response. There has never, out of all the things I've accomplished, and you've probably accomplished more, but out of all the things I've accomplished, God's given me the desires of my heart. He's given me the passions that I've loved and longed for. I've had the honor to share his word and to play before tens and to share the gift of music and message to thousands. And I'm making this about me. I'm making a point that nothing gave me more joy and humbled me more than my children and my grandchildren bend the knee and cry out to the God that loves them. And you're like, man, how much sin can a little kid do? A, you have kids. Dumb question. Two, the moment you know right from wrong, there's a draw from the Holy Spirit because he comes to you and he draws you to him. And Noah being able to witness their response. Noah didn't have to. I'm assuming there was a plank there. He didn't walk up the entryway and wonder if his family was behind. He didn't have to do that. You see, Jeff, why? Because of everything we've been talking about, Dad. Because of everything we've been talking about. Not perfection. Commitment, assurance of a relationship with God. I'm telling you, nothing. Man, when your wife says, I need Jesus, I love you, dude, but you ain't enough. Don't get offended by that, Dad. That's a compliment. The response he saw of his kids and his kids' family following him into the covering and protection and the salvation, literally, of the ark is available to you and I today. You're like, I get it, but you're the preacher, so all the preacher's kids have to be saved. Man, get your head out of sand for just a minute. God gives what they call free will, and I do appreciate almost everything Heather said. But I'm just kidding, sweetie. But I remember the time, and Mom and I have talked about this. I remember because it made me super nervous on several levels. But I wasn't as mature in the Lord. Hopefully, I've grown and. When I knew that Heather and Trey were deciding, where does God want us to serve the Lord? I knew that was happening. And so it became a contest of who could pray harder. No, that didn't happen. But I'm so glad that she said to all of you, they're not here because I'm dad. They're here because God is doing something here. And that he's here today. So dad, mom, influencer, number one question, and honestly the only one that really matters, is your walk with God solid? Is it sure? Is it something that your kids can look at, or your influence, the kids you influence, or the people, adults you influence, can look at you and say, you know what? That's a man or woman of integrity. We can't just ignore what they've said. We can't ignore how they're living. We at least have to consider it because of the way they follow Jesus. Where are you in that scale? And again, not guilt. That's why I opened with his failure. Because none of us are perfect. If you're here today, Dad, let me talk to you for a minute. We could talk all day, honestly, about how many times we wish we would have done something different. Am I right, Dads? Come on now. Either with our wife, or with our kids, or the neighbor. Remember that kid? We could talk about that, but let's not talk about that right now, because it's a new day. Bam, restart. Let's talk about right now. And see, it's a loaded question, but it's a question you have to kind of live with at the moment. Where are you with Jesus right now? Are you okay with where you are? And you're like, dude, loaded question, because if I say yes, then you think I'm apathetic. No. The heart of the question is it fractured? See, listen, God has not moved away from you. There might be some in the room today that have never, ever, ever taken that step. I didn't say you never had been to church. I didn't say, listen, I didn't get saved until I was in my 20s, and I grew up in church since I was 5 years old. When my daddy got saved, I was in church every time the door was open. No exaggeration. That didn't mean I was saved. That didn't mean I was good with God. It didn't mean that. And then on February the 21st, 1983, sitting in the back row, every Father's Day I think of this moment. It was an evening service, the back row of a big church, probably twice as long as this one. I'm on the back row. And I'll say this and we'll go home. Miss Kim standing right here. Our son was in the middle. And I really, honestly, I had clocked out long before the preacher was done, much like some of you already. I had clocked out long before the service was over. And my big brother happened to be the one who was kind of bringing the time of response, if you will, the invitation, depending on your background. And they were singing a hymn. And I just got tired of listening to it. And I'm not being a jerk. I'm just being 100% honest with you. I kind of tuned him out too, and I started messing with Bubby. And what I noticed was, and Mom will tell you this Sunday school truth, we were dressed just alike. We had bandanas tied around our neck. He literally was mini me, okay? And a mini me has got to be like, so. So I happened to look over there, and I noticed that whatever I did, he did. It was hilarious. You know, I'd be like, I'd cross my arms this way. He'd be like, you know, as a little kid, you're like, how do you do that? That's weird. You're awesome. So he'd figure that out. I put my hands in my pocket. He'd put his hands in his pockets. And while we're just telling a story, I'd like pretend like I'm picking my nose. He'd pretend like, and Mom kept going, dear God. And I would get the stink eye every now and again. And I'm like, all right, I'll chill. And all of a sudden, I clocked back in. And my big brother said this verse, girls, what is it? Is for you. This verse is for you. I'm like me? Like legit? Because he thinks I'm good. Because I'm serving in the church. I knew I wasn't. But he knows I'm serving in the church. I'm volunteering, man. I'm using my talents. I've got it down. I am playing the part. And he said, this verse is for you. And they sang. I don't know your background. Oh, why not tonight? You feel me? It's the old hymn. He said, this verse is for you. And he's saying, and this is what God spoke to me that caused me to receive his salvation and to become at that moment a different man for the rest of eternity. God spoke to me and said, do you want your son who does everything like you do it, do you want him to grow up and know you're a liar? No, God, I don't want that. And I waited. And daggone it, my big brother lied to me because it wasn't the last time they were going to sing it. Because I thought I was going to skate out of there. So it was like they did another round. And I'm like, God, I tell you what, I don't want to embarrass my brother by admitting that I'm lost. We'll take care of it. Me and you. I don't want to embarrass him. I'm on the road with my father. We're playing music every weekend. And you know, I'm on stage literally seeing hundreds of people come to the Lord through the course of the 17 years I played with my father. I don't want to do that to my dad because that might cast a bad shadow on dad. Do you see how self-righteous I am? Yeah. So I tell you what, when we get home tonight, we're going to... And God spoke into my heart. And this ain't a scare tactic. I'm telling you my story. It ain't your story. It's my story. And you can't argue with my story. And God said, this is the last time I'll ask. And as if it was with a bullhorn inside of a speaker with 5,000 watts, he said, come. And I looked at my boy. I thought of my family. And I hated this, but I stepped out in that aisle. And that aisle was 5 miles long. And I made it to the front. And the preacher that was preaching that night met me, shook my hand, said, what do you need prayer for, brother? And I said, man, I don't need prayer. I need to be saved. And he said, what? I said, I need to be saved. I need Jesus. I'm not a Christian. Okay. So he sits me down, and he's got his Bible. It's that thick, and he was going to Romans road me to death, and he was going for it. You know what I'm talking about. And he started, you said like two verses. Finally, he shuts the Bible, gives it back, and says, you know this as well as I do. He said, you know what you need to do. And I asked Jesus to forgive me. Give me a new start. Make me the man I'm supposed to be. And I have never looked back since. Because of him. Because of God putting the right people in my life at the right time. Like my wife. Who sat down and taught me about tithing. Who sat down and made it clear that you do what you want. I'm taking these kids to church. So she preached at me. I never got mad. Because she was right 100% of the time. And together, we focused on Jesus. We raised our family and made 100 mistakes times 100. But we knew that God was always with us. So Dad, one dad to another, how is what you're doing working for you? God is inviting you into an ark. And I believe it's time for some of us to tighten it down, that we reconcile with our Father. Mom, it might be you. Influencer, it might be you. Young adult, it might be you. I just know that God sent me here on assignment with one message, and that is, Jesus loved you so much. He died for you so that you could spend the rest of the rest of the rest of eternity with Him. And I don't even know how long that is. I'm inviting you, as I was invited on February 21st, 1983. I'm inviting you who need a change in your life to come. Would you bow your heads with me? As I'm praying, whatever it is that God has spoke to you, you say, Jeff, we don't normally go to the altar. I know. God said to do it this way. This is how we're doing it. If there's something you need to do, if there's something you need to confess to God, not me, you don't go through me, you go through Jesus. If there's something you need to confess, if there's an area where you've let your family down, if you need to be saved, while I'm praying, don't wait for something religious to happen. Get out of your seat, humble yourself, and bend a knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And say, you're right, I'm wrong, forgive me, come into my life and change me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that I have the honor to be a father. I thank you that my father on earth was such a great example for me to follow. I thank you, God, for my father-in-law who is such a great man to be a great example to me. I thank you for the men you've put in my life. I thank you for all of your many blessings. But God, above all, I thank you that you sacrificed your own son so that I could be in a relationship with you. I do not take that lightly, God, and I thank you. And I pray and stand in the gap for every individual that's in this room today or hearing the sound of my voice across the globe via podcast. Come, come, come. I stand in the gap and I pray, speak one more time. God, please. Please, God, please. One more time. Just once more. Speak into her ear. Speak into his heart. And tell him, come. Not go, come. Jesus' name. If you're here and you need prayer and you need Jesus and you need that relationship reconciled, get out of your seat and come. You would say, Jeff, I know my inconsistency is glaring me in the face right now. My inconsistency is not only causing confusion in other people's life, in my own. And I need prayer. I got to get this right. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? We're talking about consistency. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, sir. Thank you. Who else? Thank you, Bob. Who else? My inconsistency. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you, man. I'm so proud of you, Johnny. Who else? Thank you, son. I'm so proud of you. Who else, man? Being in and out. Thank you, dear. What's it buying you? I'm not saying you're saved and lost and saved and lost. I'm saying that you're just motivated one day to be on fire for the Lord, and the next, it's like the last thing on your mind. Stop. Stop running. Now, if you raise your hand and you want, as I said, and I will, me to pray for you, it must be important to you. Because inconsistency affects your relationship with Jesus. I'm confused. Because I am not going to embarrass you. If that's a burden on your heart, why have we not moved? Father, I pray for those who've raised their hand. You see hearts, I see hands. God, I pray that you would just speak into their life. God, I don't know where it is that the ball has been dropped in their life. I don't know where the inconsistency is. I don't need to know. But God, I pray that they've had the courage to raise their hand, but there must be a pride blocking something that would not allow them to come and bend a knee. Not out of tradition, but out of humility. If it's not enough grace to move me, then it's not enough grace to save. Father, I pray that you would bid them come. In Jesus' name, who would join those that have already come today? The cookout will be there when you get there. God bless you, son. I'm proud of you. Those of you that might be new to church, maybe it's your first time here. My name's Jeff. I'm glad you're here. There's nothing magical about this. This is wood. It's just wood and it's carpet. But it is symbolic in the scripture. Everything on the altar died. And I believe it's time for some of us to get out of our own daggone way. So I'm just inviting you to get out of your daggone way. And tell God, I'm coming in the ark. Who would join these? I'll mark our Father's Day. Last call, God said, don't drag it out, so I don't. If you're willing, he's ready. Would you come? Father, in the powerful, unchangeable name of your Son, Jesus, I ask you to meet these folks right where they are, that they would no longer question where they are and where they stand with you. Oh, but they can get up from this place and they could know that they know that they know that your mercy and grace is brand new and it's fallen upon them today. And they have been forgiven. God, I pray that the men and women will not reject your forgiveness, but we would receive your forgiveness. And I pray for those who have raised their hand, still trying to work it out. I thank you, God. I pray that you continue to speak. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to move in their life. God, I pray that you would just whisper in their ear, stay present when they lay their head down at night in the stillness and in the darkness. And as you interrupt their sleep, They are reminded that there was an invitation to come. And that at that moment, they would surrender their life completely and wholly, mistakes and sins and all, and accept your forgiveness and start a walk with you that will echo through all of eternity. We pray these things because we believe you. We believe you that you said if we would call on your name, you'd save us. In the name of your Son, we pray these things. Amen. If you're here, I hope you have a great day. But I need you to hear me. You need to do me a favor. There are people down here praying. When I dismiss you, if you can break free for a minute and you and God are good, would you just join me? We're just going to pray. It's in a counseling session. Do you know what? We're just going to pray over these folks. The rest of you, I hope you have an amazing day. If your father is still alive, show him how much you love him. If that's going to be a hard task for you, big deep breath and swallow hard and lean in. And it might be the beginning of a mending of a relationship. But I'm going to ask you, conversations, take him outside. Take him to the foyer. Let God do what he's here to do. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Let's pray.